This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explore manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, wow, if we got another back to... it's just God just blesses me all the time with amazing people that I get a chance to share with, so you should be glad. I'm glad that you're tuned in to Kingdom Pursuits today. To start off, we have Murr. Like, you remember when you, Murray on Love Boat? Well, if you were to see Murr, you'd go, oh, I get it.
That's a first.
Which, by the way, Captain Steubing there, I got a chance to interview. I'm trying to remember his name. But I interviewed him one time because he was in The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, a wonderful Christian movie. And he has a testimony that would blow your socks off on how God restored him, his marriage, after his fame on the Love Boat. So that's, but this is Murr DeYoung. That's different than Murray on the Love Boat. But anyway, he is the founder of Senior Compassion Foundation. And they got a golf tournament coming up. We're going to find out a lot about that. But those who know me well know I love Senior Compassion. And so I'm excited about what Murr is doing in this season, because it's an interesting time for that. And second up, you may know we have been partnering with the CLI Prison Alliance, which is providing Bible studies, books, and all into the prison system. Well, you know, how cool is it that we have Mike? Is it Reagan, Mike? Mike Reagan?
It's Reagan.
Okay. I apologize. I should have got it right.
Hey, that's fine.
Mike Reagan. And Mike, share a little bit of your story with CLI.
Well, I got a hold of CLI. I was an inmate in a state prison in Pennsylvania, and I ended up doing over 11 years upstate. And through that, it was one of those things that leading up to me going to prison, I was running from the Lord. I was a Christian, but every time the Lord asked me, hey, can you serve me now, my answer was no, over and over. And he kept providing the things I used as excuses, and the day I went to prison, I got on my knees and said, Lord, you know, everything's yours anyway at this point. I'm yours. So you've taken everything and put me here. I will serve you while I'm here. And that was the only time in my entire life I heard the audible voice of God, and it was no longer, can you serve me? It was, now you can serve me. And within that prison system, it's if you've never worked with inmates or seen that side of things, it can be a very, very dark place. And early on, I got a hold of a book, and in that book is a stamp that said Christian Library International, what they were named back then. And I reached out to them, and through many years of getting books from them, because they donate thousands and thousands of Christian books. And that's one of the main things that's lacking in the prison systems, you know, not just a typical Christian book, but study materials, study Bibles, those types of things. And I went through CLI Alliance, their Bible studies, did that, and corresponded with them. And I tell you, through their Bible studies, we brought probably over 100 people to Christ in the years I was in there through personal one-on-one Bible studies using their Bible studies.
Well, you can see we were loaded for bear. And Murr, your story a little bit of how you got involved with Senior, you know, Compassion.
Well, Senior Compassion was a secondary effort. My wife and I both worked in nursing homes for several years. She was a resident services coordinator that did just about every service for the elderly. And I was at my last seat was a director of a nursing home, thinking I could make change, that type of thing. And we were talking about, we need to do more for these. It's a very deserving populace of elderly folks, and we couldn't figure out what we wanted to do, and we called on God to lead us, and we agonized over it for months. And I actually was at the farmer's market in Greensboro the day that we got the call from God. And she and I experienced something that it would take too long for this show, but that was the day that we invented, through God's wisdom, Senior Compassion Foundation, to serve the same populace in a much different way, one-on-one. So today it's grown. It's been a couple years. So we're
and by the way, the way I met Murr was through our good friend Vinny Menino, who went to be with the Lord earlier this year. And when Vinny spoke highly of you, that was, and believe me, Murr was like his favorite. So
he was my favorite. He started the ball rolling.
There was nobody quite like Vinny, but you know that I have to do my riddles, which even in my... Maybe my voice is telling me I got to do it in a minute. I'll let Murr talk some more and get into that story a little bit, because I really, now you got me, it may take longer in the show, but you got to give us a little bit more.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Oh, now, we started by a simple lunch and me passing a note over to my wife that I had just put in my 60-day notice with corporate to step down as the director of a nursing home to start this entity, Senior Compassion Foundation. And without a moment of change, she just kept eating and goes, okay. And it's been a huge transition. But what we do at Senior Compassion Foundation is quite simple. It's not reinventing the wheel at all. It's just following the passion to have something for the seniors to look forward to that are in long-term care. It could be a nursing home. It could be an assisted living. It could be independent homes. They have a lot of facilities that have just apartments, and they're totally on their own. They're just at that facility in case something happens. Those are the people that we're trying to serve in just life enrichment activities, sort of like Grant-A-Wish or that other well-known one for the elderly. And we take them out. We grant wishes for them. One of the funnest we've done is a 87, almost 90-year-old woman last year that wanted to go not skydiving, but ziplining. And so we took her to High Point, and we went ziplining with her. And that's the kind of thing they really want to do.
Wow.
Is fun stuff. So it's not just a bunch of, you know, folks wasting away in these four walls of nursing homes and assisted living facilities. They want to do things. And as long as they have their mind, their body, and they still have the fervor to do some things from the past, we're the people to call.
And Mike, I'm sure you see the connection.
Yep.
You know, I do. That
oh,
these,
yes.
What does it mean to a prisoner to get a visit?
Oh, my. It is just the next thing. One of the things that kind of blew my mind being in prison was every morning there's a mail call. And that mail call, everybody gets up for it. Even the guys that have been down 20, 30 years, and they come to the cell door, and you can just see when they walk past them, because when you're down for a while, people just stop writing you. And you just see their head go down, and they walk away from the door, and the discouragement that no one written me. But I tell you what, even a simple Bible study, a letter, a Christian letter, just you see joy on their face in a place that you don't normally see joy. So, you know, visits and especially letters and that type of stuff are just huge. And I can only imagine how that equates back to the elderly, too, because, you know, I think even though they're different circumstances, one kind of went the wrong path and one is just aging, but at that time they have those same things, I think, where you just need to go in and give them some love from God, both cases.
Yeah, I have a friend that just got out after 13 years, a dear friend, actually very, very
right.
close family friend, and he told me that the first person he saw take his life was a man who tried to get to the phone for weeks
yep.
to get the phone call, and nobody would answer.
Right.
And so, you know, what you guys are doing, you know, is especially in these times. So how cool. We get a chance to hear my riddle, which, you know, is going to be in really bad taste. But nonetheless, it's about prison and stuff, you know, so you got all that coming. And then we're going to find out, what do we do in these times when the visits, you know, you can't go visit somebody right now. So a lot more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have Murr D. Young with us. It's Murr D. Young. I don't want to say so it's Murdy, so you get Murr D. Young.
Finally got it.
He's the founder of Senior Compassion Foundation and the golf tournament they've got coming up. Wait till you hear some of the cool things they're funding with this golf tournament. It's coming up September 12th. It's at the Winding Creek Golf Course in Thomasville. And, of course, you can go to Kingdom Pursuits and register for that. And I think it's going to be an amazing event. It's their first time. It's so really cool chance to sow into a time when, believe me, these seniors are struggling because nobody gets to visit them. And so ways in are becoming creative. And then we also have with us Mike Regan. And he is, you know, essentially testifying to what CLI, Prison Alliance, which you hear that, hopefully throughout the September, their big drive that they have, and what they're looking for is partners, not just people to give a one-time gift, but a people that will put down $10, $15, $25 a month so that they can actually budget for these things to get these materials into prisoners again for such a time as this, when they can receive letters, when they can't get visits. I mean, this stuff is just absolutely critical, and I can't tell you how thrilled I am to partner with both these guys that God, you know, I always feel so lucky that God, you know, allows these things in my life that I get a chance to take part in them. So, you knew it was coming, and yes, it's in bad taste, but hey, I got to do it.
It's always in bad taste.
It's a dirty joke, but, you know, it's a dirty job, not a dirty joke. They're all clean, very, very clean. All right, so speaking of prison.
Prison.
Yeah. So I was walking by a prison when I saw a midget, actually, in a orange jumpsuit. He was climbing down the fence.
He was?
Yeah. And when he hit the ground, he just sneered at me.
Why?
You know, so I told him, you know, that's a little condescending. Oh, yeah. And prison could be in your future if you're your drug dealer cracks you up. I'm just saying, you know, you got to be careful about that. But then if he cracks you up,
don't bring me into these.
In fact, it could happen happened at the crack of dawn, and you then try to crack the lock on your cell, but you know, that would kind of be crossing the line. But this is my favorite part, actually. Later, if you fully recover, you know what you'll be, Beth Ann?
What will I be if I fully recover?
You'll be crack-a-lackin'.
Crack-a-lackin'.
Yes.
Nope. No crack.
Just yes. So, unfortunately, so many people in prison has to do with drugs because it's just, you know, too hard to get, you know, things like that that you're addicted to. So, here comes the actual Bible riddle. Are you ready?
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. I was waiting.
You know, I've set that up by saying pot can get you in prison. I'm just saying. So who was the first prisoner in the Bible? And he got there as a result of... Are you ready for this?
No.
Potiphar.
Oh. Potiphar.
Yeah, that's how it happened. If you know who that prisoner was, gotten prisoner as a result of Potiphar, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And I have to tell you, Beth Ann, we got more prizes after you tell them. But first, you got to tell them about your prize, and I got more.
Oh, Robbie! Well, then we are loaded for bear
we
when
are.
It comes to prizes. We're going to reach deep into the Kingdom Pursuits prize closet, and it is huge. It's a walk-in, and grab something.
Well, let me tell you what we're going to grab, Beth Ann. We're going to grab a Senior Compassion Foundation T-shirt coloring book, and believe it or not, one admission to the golf tournament, which is a $60 value, all just by itself. So you'll be styling and profiling at the golf tournament with your T-shirt and your coloring book that obviously all at, you know, provided by Senior Compassion Foundation.
That's eight, awesome.
And come on, you guys know the answer to this, right? Which there's a first prisoner in the Bible. He got there as a result of pot.
Fur.
866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Mike.
Yes.
Can you put a little flesh on one of those stories? You said that you had several hundred people that you saw come to Christ. Was there one that just kind of jumped at you like, this guy ain't never going to, you know, I can imagine you met some pretty hardened people, right?
And, oh, and yes.
Can you share one of those stories like you wouldn't believe this guy?
Well, I'll give you one that kind of still blows my mind to this day. We had a gentleman, and he was a devout Muslim, and I don't know how many people he killed to get there, but the only reason he did not get the death penalty was he was showing where he buried bodies. He was a hitman, and he was very, very, everybody was scared of him because he actually killed a CO in prison and a Sally in prison. So this guy was doing years in the hole. And everybody in the prison knew him and pretty much the prison system because even though you're in one place, you kind of hear rumors and stories from other locations throughout the state and all. But this dude, it's like no way would he ever, you know, God would have to come visit him to change this man's heart. Well, we had a great pastor in prison, and every day he would slide Christian literature under his door at the hole. And every day he would slide it out and scream at him and tell him he was going to kill him. And this went on for a few years. Well, the one day, and I was the clerk in the church there for the prison, and he comes in and says, you're going to see a name on the list that you don't expect. And his first name's Fred. I'll just share his first name. And he said, Fred's going to be coming to church. And I'm like, are you, what? And okay, really? Do we have CO standing by? You know, it was like one of those, you just knew things were going to be in your flesh. There's no way this man truly accepted Christ. And when this gentleman walked in, and he's probably 6'6", probably close to 400 pounds, because all he did was work out. So if something went bad, it was pretty much COs would have to come in and save you, because there's no winning this. And he walks in, and he was like, everybody turns their head, and there's 300 people in this service. And everybody kind of turns, it's like, oh my. He sat down and didn't say anything, and then after church he came up to me and says, yeah, I need a new Bible. Do you have one? So I gave him a Bible. Well, we started talking, and we would go into the yard and to talk to him. It's unfortunately, the prison system is still separated by color. And, you know, the different races work out in different areas, and part of that whole thing is you don't cross that boundary. But I also led a service for about 7 years where I got to preach to about 180 inmates every week, and we had people come in. I could actually walk into the different areas without any problem. God protected me.
Wow.
And they knew I was there because they all asked me to pray for them. So I walked into that area, and we started building this friendship. And to this day, they put in the newest, meanest inmates in his cell as the first stop. And he speaks life into them and talks to them about Christ in a way they understand. They won't disrespect this gentleman. no one will. But it's amazing how sold out he had become for Christ, to where the first night they have something in prison called a Z code, and it's a single cell, and they took that from him. And normally that's not a good thing. He didn't have any. He didn't go into the flesh, and they took the guy out the first night because they were scared for his life, really. And they said, well, what's going on in there? He's like, well, he fed me. He says, okay. Did he want anything in return? He says, yeah. He said, you can have anything you want to eat. only thing you have to do is read a chapter of the Bible, and you can have anything to eat. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to believe it. But if I'm giving you food, I want you to know where it's coming from. It's coming from God, so read a chapter. So that was the thing that really blew my mind, that you had a life-changing thing that came about that you know it's from God, and I still correspond with him today, and he's still serving the Lord wholeheartedly.
Wow, what a beautiful story. I mean, that's just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, but kind of along those lines, Murr, I imagine you see the same kind of thing, that seniors find themselves in a place where they're more alone than they've ever been, and their hearts start searching.
Well, while Mike was talking about that story, it immediately made me think of a few of our participants through the year that a lot of our participants are in their 90s, even got a 100-year-old, unfortunately, recently passed. But I've got a lot of older folks that I deal with. And so on the human end, the man end, they're one foot in the grave, so to speak. And that's our last chance for my wife and I to witness, because you don't know their background or their faith or anything. And like Mike mentioned, we've come across some devout Muslim, some other faiths, and we still witness. And some of them are pretty stubborn, but when we begin our conversation, a lot of the time I'll just say, oh, where are you at in your walk of faith? I don't say what religion you are. I don't talk about Jesus. I don't start out full force. I just ask, where are you at in your walk of faith? That gives them an open-ended answer opportunity. And you know the number one thing that they say? The answer to, where are you at in your walk of faith? I went to church. And that's so common. And so, of course, I got to go much further than that, just that you went to church. So,
well, the great news is the lines are lit up for this T-shirt and coloring book. We might have to get a few more, as we can't do more of the golf tournament. Well, we'll do more of those, because we got Scott and Angela and just all sorts of people. So hang on. We'll be right back with this wonderful answer to this pot. He wasn't an addict, though. He broke the habit of Potiphar. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today, wow, we're blessed to have with us Murr DeYoung with the Foundation of Senior Compassion and Mike Regan. He was reached by our partner CLI Prison Alliance while they were incarcerated. We got a lot more coming up from them. I think we got four Riddlers. And by all means, all you Riddlers now, even if somebody else gets it, stay on the line, because I always want to talk to you. We got stuff for you. So by all means, hang in there for a minute. But first off, we got Amy Cabo is calling in. Amy is the host of The Cure, which is coming on at 1 o'clock today. And Amy, you're loaded for bear. You got, right, Steve Skipper, he's an artist painter, and you're going to be doing gang member redemption. Kind of fits with what we're doing today.
Yes, it's amazing. Steve Skipper is a former gang member who turned to God and discovered gifts he never knew he had. It's a testimony of the awesome transformation that takes place when God is in our life, and the endless possibilities when we walk the right path. This comes to show that regardless of who we are or where we come from, what we have experienced, nothing can hold us back as long as we have God, and we can actually make a difference in the world.
Isn't that cool? And, you know, I think about, you've got this phenomenal artist, right? I mean, and so I just got to tell you, one time I did a show with a mime, you know? And so, if you think about that, Amy, you know, it's a very visual thing that you've got with an artist, so I'm saying you have fun trying to to illustrate all that's going on with that. But I know it's going to be a great show. Again, this show is live, folks, so you can call in and share on Amy's show talking about gang redemption. Thank you for calling in, Amy.
Thank you.
God bless.
Have a beautiful day.
Bye bye. Yeah, you ought to try doing that. Wow, were you the producer back then?
No.
Oh,
it
was.
Yeah.
Actually, I had like four mimes, and you know, there was no words, but I had to kind of walk my way through it. So first up today on my Riddlers is Scott and he's in Winston-Salem. Scott, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie. How are you doing?
I am excited to hear your answer again to the other Riddlers. By all means, stay on the line because I want to talk to all of you in case Scott gets exactly the right answer. I know Scott's going to have the right answer, but sometimes they don't have exactly the right answer. So, Scott, who was this prisoner?
Well, it was Joseph at Potiphar's wife. Wheeled on him, and of course she falsified the account of what actually happened.
You're exactly right. That, you know, that's it's a case of pot that, you know, got him in prison. And so
he was above.
The big question I got for you, can you actually come to this golf tournament on Saturday, the 12th?
Perhaps.
Is this okay?
Yeah, so, I may be able to.
So we want to make sure that we give, because we want to get some people out to this golf tournament. So we're going to do that, Scott, and I'm going to try to be there too, so I'll be playing with you. And there you go. So I'm going to put you back on hold so she gets that information, and we'll come up with
Good
Angela.
Show today, Robbie.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Always a joy, and so glad you called in today. So we got Angela is in Burlington. Angela, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning.
It is a good morning. It's any a good morning anytime I get to hear from Angela, my good friend in Burlington.
Aw, that was sweet, Robbie. Thank you.
Well, believe me, the listeners are what make this. You know, you guys are the reason for the season, so to speak. So who do you think was this pot addict?
It was Joseph.
He wasn't actually an addict, though.
It was Joseph.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But when you think about that story, you know, what jumps out at you, Angela?
Joseph's perseverance. I mean, the baker forgot him. Who was the other one?
Candlestick maker.
Anyway,
I'm
there were two people in jail who said they would speak to the king, and they
it was
forgot.
Actually the cupbearer, yeah.
And his perseverance really jumps out at me. He just patiently persevered, and the good times eventually came to him.
You know, the beauty of that is what Joseph actually said later to his brother, what Potiphar's wife had meant for evil, God used for good, because think how many people were saved as a result of Joseph's incarceration, not unlike, you know, Mike, your story, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of famine, of course, that was across the land. But I think of Fred, man, he was in a bad famine. And it's kind of cool to see. Well, God, thank you, Angela, for calling in. It's always great to hear from you. You doing okay?
Yes. You know, I'd like to offer a word of encouragement to everybody. Even in the midst of a pandemic, God is working to bring good.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Sometimes it seems absolutely impossible that anything good could happen out of this, but it can. And like Joseph, we just need to lean on the Lord and wait for it.
And persevere.
His time, it'll happen.
I love that. Thank you, Angela. God bless. You have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And we have Daniel is in Richmond. Daniel, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. I hope you held on for me.
Yeah, I did. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning. I'm so glad you called in. So often my listeners have way better answers than I do, but I was curious what you're thinking the proper answer was to this riddle.
You're a very, very humble guy there, Robbie. And, you know, Joseph, he was always iffy about sin. So when you passed in the J, he was kind of a hot iffer.
I knew it. I knew it. See, that makes
more
like
my day.
Yeah. They passed him the jam. Yeah, man. That's quite the that's very quick of you there, Daniel. That's worth a whole lot of prizes right there from the prize vault. Just to, you know, really brings me some joy to think about that. But on the other side of it, tell me your thoughts on Joseph.
Well, Joseph always inspired me. It's just kind of amazing because of the world we live in, and I grew up not really being biblically knowledgeable as far as Christianity, and Joseph is amazing. I mean, I'm sure it was still evil days then too, but the fact that Joseph lived his life and what God did is just an example of when you really trust God and really wait on him, you know, these are the kind of things that happen.
Absolutely. Did you have any brothers, Daniel?
Yes, I do. Richard and Benji, please pray for them that they would believe on Jesus as well as the rest of my family.
Well, let's do that right now. Wow. Thank you, Daniel. Jesus, thank you for Richie and Benji. What an opportunity we have to speak into their lives with you. Lord, I know you love them more than we could ever imagine, and I know that you want to speak to them. And we just join with Daniel, their brother, who's crying out for their heart, and we just pray that you would reach into their lives, send somebody, send some word, send some letter or whatever it might take that would touch them to where they would see how much you love them and they would turn their lives to you and bear much fruit in Daniel's family. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. There you go. That even makes my day more.
Wow, you really made my day, Robbie.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone else involved at the Truth. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
And what a great name, too, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I've always liked that, too. I'm glad my parents did that. As much as they were hippies, I could have been flower.
That's true. I understand. Daniel, God bless. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too, Rob. God bless you.
So, wow, you know, it's always so cool to get a chance to engage with the people that, you know, these things, they bring up things in our own lives. Like, so many of us are in prison before we get to know the Lord. We may not have the bars, but, you know, it's pretty clear in Isaiah 61 that he's got to free the captives. And so he's been out about doing that. We're going to get another segment of that with Mike Regan and Murd DeYoung. Of course, all this stuff's at KingdomPursuits.com. You got to come to the golf tournament. I want to play with you. I don't play well, but I'll be out there. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, again, we have with us Mike Regan. He was reached by our partner, CLI Prison Alliance, while incarcerated. Again, we're asking this month that people reach out there. You can see that at kingdompursuits.com, or you can go to truthnetwork.com, and you can click there to be a partner. If that's $5 a month, you know, $10 a month, whatever it is, that's just something they know that they can count on, and continue to get these publications out into the prisons, as well as Murd DeYoung, and he's the founder of the Senior Compassion Foundation. The golf tournament's coming up September 12th, and it is at Winding Creek Golf Course in Thomasville, which I've never been there before, but I'm pretty soon I'll be winding in this creek. If there's a way to get the balls in that creek that's winding, I'm pretty sure Robbie's going to do that. But Murr, tell us, what are you going to do with the proceeds from this?
Well, that's the best part, Robbie. We're having to change our whole organization structure during the pandemic, obviously, because we can't get into nursing homes or long-term care centers. We've been doing window visits and care packages and letters and phone calls, but we've found an object that we think is going to revolutionize even during the pandemic. It's it's called a tri-shawl. It's a specialized bicycle for the elderly. It has a bench seat on the front. It's custom made overseas, and it's going like hotcakes over there at their nursing homes. And I found it, and it's electric assist. So the whole front end, the bench seat up front, lowers to the ground. So if they have limited mobility, like canes or walkers, they can get on safely and buckle up, and then it raises back up. And I can take them around the campus of whatever facility they're in. Or even if they're at home, we could do around, you know, the side streets and just let them enjoy that wind in their hair and the sun on their face and just get out again.
Let me just tell you that once when I was struggling with my whole cancer thing and I had been inside the hospital, I think, for maybe 90 days, and I'd been in those four walls, you know.
That's just a taste of it.
And they said, Robbie, we're going to let you go outside. And I imagine that you know exactly what I'm talking about, Mike.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, my goodness. Like a gift from heaven. Like, this is huge. just to hear, like you said, the wind in their hair and the outside and the smell of outside.
Just interacting with other people, even if it's from afar during the pandemic, they see people, not just their four walls. So, and Robbie, as I was talking to you earlier, Mike, I was kind of showing the analogy between your prison ministry bit and our senior home bit. It's very, very common to hear from our participants saying that it's like being in prison because they could be in these homes for literally decades. And
right. It's
the same four concrete walls. And I know there's obviously a difference, but really during this pandemic, it's almost like a mirror thing. They bring their medicine, they bring their food, they bring everything. They don't leave that room unless it's like to the hospital or something like that. But it's definitely
correlates. Similarly, Mike, can you kind of share with our listeners in this last few minutes we have, which really is only probably about a minute and a half, what it means to these prisoners to get the CLI,
It is actually not just something that is wanted. It is needed. The inmates that are there, they have a hunger for, okay, is there something better? Is there something after this? And CLI, Prison Alliance, through the Bible studies, they not only get things coming in that actually enriches their lives, but they have a chance by someone supporting them and getting these things, because there's a cost to everything. And when it gets into the hands of an inmate, it doesn't just touch one inmate, because they all share it. So you could actually, from one Bible study, watch multiple people come to the Lord, and then prison no longer matters to them because they're serving God. So it's an altering, life-changing thing that CLI, Prison Alliance, does. And unless you see it firsthand, you can't imagine how much it changes someone's life. So it is something that isn't just, hey, we're doing something good for the guys behind bars. You're actually sowing to the kingdom here. You are bringing people to the Lord that may never hear the gospel any other way. So it is extremely needed, and it is not just cherished there. They use it, hand it off, and it impacts so many people between the books and the books they send in too. That one book might get read by 1,000 inmates. So they do an incredible work. I do stuff outside of the prison with them, and I cannot say enough good things about them.
Right. So believe me, what a cool thing God has given all of us, a chance to partner with these ministries, which, again, you can go to kingdompursuits.com. And there you can see, just hit the donate now thing on the CLI or register for the golf course. I mean, golf outing, I mean, this is going to be so much fun. And Murr, I know there's something came to your mind you wanted to say real quick. Go ahead.
Just real quickly, I always like to end my presentations with our founding logo, the lady's hands in our logo. She was the one that believed in us enough to get this going, and we all came together with our founding scripture of Psalm 71:9, and it matches our foundation perfectly. It is, do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's going to be fun when we're in heaven with these different people we never got a chance to meet. It's a chance to, as Listen to the Truth Network, we get a chance to see what God's doing in so many different ways, how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Now, wow, you got so much truth coming at you. I can tell you this encouraging prayer coming up is awesome, followed by Masculine Journey that starts here now at 12 o'clock. And then, Amy Cabo and The Cure at 1. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Thank you for listening.
This is the Truth Network.